harm of the Gospels. Jesus is going to ordain the Lord's Supper. I will have a prayer, and then we'll take a look at this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we are thanking you and praising you that you have given to us a memorial whereby we are to remember just that great sacrifice that you have made for us in dying, being buried, and raised again the third day. We thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood that we might live and live for eternity. Bless our study this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if we've got to be short on time, this is probably a good day because this is a short lesson. I just want to just focus on the Lord's Supper. Look what we read here. It's the sixth day. We're still on the sixth day. What did Jesus do at this time? Well, according to Luke's account, we read, "And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him." Now, we've talked about this fact before, how the Lord has chosen out these 12 to partake with him in what we would call the first Lord's Supper. Of course, it's the Passover, but it's also the Lord's Supper. Now, what did Jesus say was his desire? This is kind of interesting. Again, in Luke's account only, he said unto them, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Again, we've seen more and more the Lord indicating that his time is short. It's short. And he doesn't say once that he desires, but he says it twice. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And you know what? What a blessing that one day we are going to be eating with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the next question is this. What did Jesus do while they were eating concerning the bread? Well, we got Matthew, Mark's, and Luke's account on this whole matter. And you'll notice that they're very, very similar, okay? For example, Matthew, he says, "And as they were eating," Mark, he says, "And as they did eat," Luke, "and he took bread," all right? Matthew, go back up to Matthew. Matthew, it says, okay, Jesus took bread. Also, Mark, Jesus took bread. And also, we read in Luke's, "And he took bread." Go back with me to Matthew. What did he do with the bread? He blessed it. Mark says, blessed. And we read in Luke's, he gave thanks. Go back up to Matthew. He took, he blessed, he break it. Mark, he took, he blessed, he break it. And he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he break it. And now, back to Matthew. What did he do? He gave it to the disciples. Mark says, and he gave it to them. And Luke says, and he gave it unto them. Now notice what he says. Again, it's very, very similar, isn't it? And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." That was Matthew's account. Well, he looked down at Mark. Very similar, huh? "Take, eat, this is my body." And then we see with Luke, he says, okay, "This is my body, now watch, which is given for you." Then he says, "This do in remembrance of me." All right, so this is going to be a memorial. Every time that we partake of the Lord's Supper here at Grace Bible Church, we do so in memory of what the Lord has done, how his body was broken for you and for me. All right, now watch. Take a look at your next sheet. Here's what we know. Jesus was present, wasn't he? He was present. He was present in his body. The bread, therefore, represented his sinless body. You can't have two Jesuses. You can't say, all right, here, take this bread. This is my body. Well, he's handing it to him. Here he is in person. It's not his body. It represents his body. It represents the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to make for mankind. And the reason why we know that, we got other aspects. And I'll give you an example. In John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus says, I'm the door. Hey, there's only one way to come. Come through me. Well, was he the door? Was he an action? No, he's talking in an aspect of symbolic. He's talking about the aspect, hey, I represent the only way. My body here is, hey, take, eat. It represents the sacrifice that I'm going to make for you. But with the Roman Catholics, they actually partake of the Lord's body. They actually partake of the Lord's blood. And that is done because the priest, with a few words, transforms that bread to the Lord's body, transforms that juice to the Lord's wine to the Lord's blood. And they are the only ones that have this power to be able to make this change. Well, look, it's representative. Christ was there physically. It was not his body. It was not his, but it represented his body, just as what he's about to drink will represent his blood. Watch our next question on page 2. What did Jesus say he would do this again with them? When would he do this again? Luke says, well, for I say unto you, I'll not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God. So that's what we're told from Luke's account. What did Jesus do while they were eating concerning the cup? Now we're going to look at the cup. And we'll look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account. And notice Luke says he took the cup. Matthew says he took the cup. Mark says he took the cup. What comes next in Luke's account? He gave thanks. Matthew says he gave thanks. And Mark says, and when he'd given thanks. Now watch. Luke says, and he said, here's what he said. Take this and divide it among yourselves. So it seems like one big container. What are they? He hands them over to take out of it, drink out of it. Matthew says, saying, drink ye all of it. Why? For this is my blood of the New Testament, the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. Mark, pretty similar, he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, all right, which is shed for many. So he does not have that added phrase for the remission of sin. He just put, which is shed for many. So you can see how it is helpful, even when you look at these three, which are very similar, you do see, you know, that little added phrase in Matthew's account, which for the remission of sins. And also in Matthew's and Mark's account, added more than what Luke had. So by harmonizing all these passages, you do get more information. And that's why it's helpful for us to do this process. Now, Luke 22:20 says this, likewise, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So we do see that. It wasn't in verse 17, but later down in verse 20, he has that same phrase. The cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, watch what I show you, and I think I've showed you this before. 12 times this Greek word is translated New Testament. 18 times it's translated covenant. This was God's arrangement with mankind, which cannot be altered, but can be accepted or can be rejected based on faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We know that Christ's death was for all humanity. But is all humanity saved? No. Only those who believe on Jesus Christ, believing that he died for their sins, that he was buried, and again, that he rose from the grave. Those are the only ones that this is imputed unto, those who believe. All right, now let's take a look at our third sheet. I mentioned to you, the New Testament contains the writings that reveal the content of the New Covenant. So while you're reading the New Testament, you can read about the New Covenant. For example, now I mentioned this, the Mosaic Covenant. It was inaugurated with a sacrifice. All right, we know that. The New Covenant was inaugurated with a sacrifice of Christ. So both the Mosaic and also the New Covenant, it begins with a sacrifice. One we're speaking of is the sacrifice of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, notice the promise of the New Testament, the promise of this New Covenant. Two great Old Testament books, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. If you want to go back and look at the prophecy of the New Covenant, of Christ bringing us this New Covenant, you can see it both in Jeremiah and also in Ezekiel. And we know this is to be kept until Jesus returns. This is a passage we often read out of 1 Corinthians 11 when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And we're to do that until Jesus comes again. When did Jesus say that he would do this again with them? Well, he said, I say unto you, I'll not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Mark, very similar. I'll drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Luke, I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So a little more abbreviated thing. And of course, I mentioned there, this is a reference to their reunion with Jesus during the millennial kingdom. All right, so what did they do after the meal? And when they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Mark says, and when they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And most likely, the hymn that they sang would have been the Psalms 115 through 118. That's normally the ones that they would have sung at that time. All right, now that pretty much, in a nutshell, speaks of that occasion inaugurating, if you will, the Lord's Supper. Now, take a look at the back and see what we can come up with as far as what we learn from this passage. Did we learn anything from the Lord? What did we learn about the nature of our God? We've been learning this right along. He's all-knowing, absolutely, yep. What else have we learned here in this passage about our God? Joe? Keeps his promises. He's a promise keeper, yep. Yep. Anything else we know about our God? Yeah. Amen. Demonstrates to us the sacrifice of giving, that agape love, which we are to follow and demonstrate in our lives. We also had previously mentioned he's a God of who is sometimes selective of his love. He chooses certain ones to participate with him. Didn't choose all that had been saved up to that point. He chose the 12. And sometimes when we see God blessing individuals or certain gifts or certain goods, we must be mindful. Let's not be envious. Let's not be jealous. That's the Lord's prerogative. And that was his prerogative to choose these 12. And even of those 12, we know one was a Judas. What else do we see? Well, we know one thing is this, that we see that the blood of Jesus Christ, it covers the sins of all who will believe. All right, we know that. Do we learn anything about mankind in these verses? Anything at all? How is it that you and I can have fellowship? We must what? Yeah, we got to believe. We must believe in the fact that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And we can have that fellowship with him in heaven. That's what he's talking about. You know, I'm not going to do this again until I drink it new with you, you know, in heaven. We can have that fellowship. All right, that's good. That's sort of my next thing. Yeah, believers are to remember what Jesus has done for them. Every believer should remember what the Lord has done for them. Now, how might you put that as aspect? Well, how might these verses change my behavior? What might you purpose to do? I purpose to take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of all that the Lord has done. That was be one of the premier purposes that, and of course, we'll build on that this morning because we're going to be talking about the Passover and all of its meanings, all right? So, you know, hey, I purpose to take the Lord's Supper with the spirit of what? Of, yeah, thanksgiving, being thankful for what the Lord has done. All right, any other, I told you it was a short lesson today, but any other thoughts as we went through those verses or any questions or statements that you'd like to make or other purposes that you see what it teaches us about God, what it teaches us about man and what we should purpose to do? Somebody? Anybody? Comment, thought? Well, and like I said, this is a short piece because the next one goes into another topic of sorts, so I didn't want to jumble those two together. So let's just thank the Lord then for what he's taught us this day. Oh boy, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this teaching concerning how you have ordained the Lord's Supper. Lord, we thank you that just as you chose certain ones to partake it with you at the original time, Lord, we thank you that you've chosen us to participate with you in that glorious time when you shall come again. Lord, we look forward to fellowshipping with you. We thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us by choosing us to partake with you in the Lord's Supper. And Lord, I pray that as we wait for your coming and we remember what you have done, that every month, Lord, we would partake of the Lord's Supper with a spirit of truly thanksgiving, recognizing, Lord, that you made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We thank you for that ultimate sacrifice, even this morning. And Lord, we ask of you to just give us the grace and the mercy to follow you in obedience. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.